to Straight Up. As you may know by now, given that we are 6 episodes in, we are the new UK music podcast, getting the inside scoop on the music industry's biggest secrets with the people that know it best. Hosted by music journalists Kathleen Johnston and Eleanor Wolf.
Each episode, we interview one person bossing it behind the scenes in music. And this time, it's super stylist Carlotta Constant, who starred everyone from Rihanna and Stormzy to Loyal Khaana and the Arctic Monkeys, as well as other heavyweights like David Beckham, Chris Hemsworth, Didier Drogba and Sadiq Khan.
Carlotta started her career at FHM and has also worked at GQ, where we met her, Vogue and This Morning. Carlotta's a ton of musicians on her client roster, including Jonas Blue, Harvey, SG Lewis and a load more of Universal's rising stars.
Carlotta talked about everything from the advice she gave Rihanna on set to the musician who she'd love to make over, the awkward moments that come hand in hand with getting A-listers naked every day at work, and also her ultimate hype beast tip for ensuring you get in on the very best fashion drops.
Now, we know you hear this on almost every podcast you listen to and that it can get just a little bit boring, but please do rate, review and subscribe if you can. We're a new podcast and it really makes all the difference, which is why everyone says it.
If you've got any comments, questions, or suggestions even for our next episode, then we'd really love to hear from you. And you can find us on Instagram at kathleen.m.johnston and elliehalls1, or on Twitter at kmejohnston and eleanorhalls1.
Enjoy the episode.
Carlotta, thank you so much for being here at the Ministry. Full disclosure for everyone, we all used to work together. Carlotta, Ellie and I met at GQ about, what, 3.5 years ago
now? Do you remember the first time we met, Carlotta?
No, do you remember the first time we met?
No, I just want to see, like, did we all like each other?
I'm sure.
I feel like we did.
I feel like we knew.
I feel like girls don't usually like me,
though. Young women together, we were going to be friends.
When they first see me, no. Mm. People tell me that I look like a bit of a bitch.
Okay, I'm going to open the champagne.
You go for it. I'm going to jump in with our first question, which, obviously, being a music-themed podcast, we want to talk all about your music clients.
Yes.
Tell us who is the most exciting or biggest musician that you have ever styled.
Oh,
could be for a one-off, doesn't have to be one of your regulars.
The biggest person I've ever worked with would probably have to be when I was assisting. Mm-hmm. Does that still count? Can I talk about this?
Yeah.
One of my first assisting jobs was with Rihanna.
Ooh.
I know, it was incredible.
What year?
I had basically, what year? You're really testing me here.
Sorry.
I have absolutely no idea what year it was. It was around
Ellie with her strict
7 years ago, checking. I think.
Okay.
And I had just finished an internship at This Morning.
This Morning?
Yeah.
I know you did that.
I mean, I have done everything. I have been at every single place that you can think of, every magazine, every television, radio.
You were loaded.
Pardon? No, but I did FHM, obviously.
Yeah, that's true.
You were,
then. I think it was either or.
Okay, tell us about Rihanna.
Yes, so Rihanna.
Shut up.
Yep, so I was on This Morning and I randomly, there was a lady covering for someone and she was like, you know, I really like you, we get on, can I have your details? And I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. Get a text the next day saying, call off sick and come assist me. There's a really big person in town and I'm covering her for the UK. And it was when she was doing Battleships. Do you remember that movie?
Oh my God, yeah.
So it was all her press for that. And I remember not knowing who she was and going to the Corinthia Hotel, and there were all these photographers outside, like press going crazy, people trying to climb the walls and stuff like that, and these big bodyguards outside. And she was like, right, make sure that you talk to Jermaine and say that you're here with me. And I was like, okay, cool. Got into the suite, saw Rihanna, and just was like, right, it's done. Like, this is insane.
What was she wearing? What did she look like?
It was, you know what? It was when she was going out with Chris Brown.
Oh.
Yeah, when that whole incident happened. So there's a lot of talk about that. No, but it was before anything had happened.
So who was talking
about it? Just
about
having with him generally.
Yeah. But pardon me.
What was she wearing? Was
she was, I can't remember. Yeah. She was naked pretty much most of the time because of our fittings. But
what was the vibe? Was she kind of, did you have to kind of earn her respect or was she immediately friendly?
She was so nice. The friendliest person in the whole entire world and so lovely to every single person in the room.
Oh, great.
And I was obviously like assistant that had been pulled in last minute. But yeah, she was amazing.
Did she talk? Did she say, like, hi, I'm Rihanna, what's your name?
Yeah, she asked me what to do in London.
What did you tell her to do?
I have absolutely no idea what I told her what to do, but it was probably the worst thing ever.
You need to write a diary because these are not facts that you can let slip.
I know, you're right. My brother always says that to me. He's like, for the stuff you do, you should keep like a 100%. Journal or like take photos everywhere you go.
I've already forgotten everyone I've interviewed. Someone was like, can you write a list?
That's exactly the same as me. Yeah. I have to look back at my CV or
on your own byline. Or
yeah.
Tell us about your favourite shoot of the year so far. I'm assuming you won't have done many since we're literally in the beginning of Feb.
Do you know what? I've done 8 shoots already this
year.
It's been pretty manic. Do you know what? It always just depends on what the guys that I'm looking after, dressing. so I literally feel like I'm looking after them sometimes. Especially like there's a little guy called Harvey that I style.
Oh yeah, the little
and
musician.
And he's really pushing. Yes.
Like if we.
He's like young though.
He's
when
so
you say
young.
Little, he's like
he's 21. He's like.
Oh okay. Whoa. He looks a lot younger than that. Didn't
he?
I
looks about 14, doesn't
yeah.
he? Wait, Harvey, if you're listening to this, not that you will. I mean, he probably will, guys.
He might do. Yeah. What are you saying about our listenership?
I'm sorry.
That's such shade.
So no, let's. He probably won't listen.
Harvey,
to it,
when you do listen to it, I'm sorry you don't look 14.
I remember when Olivia Rose was on. She's like Mary J. Blige, if you're listening. Oh, yeah. Georgia Smith, if you're listening. And I was like,
I
come,
no. Girls, am I? I can't even remember what I was saying now.
Harvey this year.
Yeah, so Harvey this year, he's got a lot of press on. Yeah, it always just depends what they've got. Yeah, going on. So Harvey's got his new single out on Valentine's Day. I don't
sing a little bit.
No. Do you want to know the worst thing in the whole entire world?
What?
So the single is out on Valentine's Day and I probably did the worst thing that anyone could ever, ever, ever do.
Jasmine Red?
No. With a rose hangout. Yeah. We were at his showcase, basically like a really important industry showcase for him, showing how incredible he is. And there was this montage, like a showreel of all these fans like running up and hugging him. And it was literally incredible. And like thousands and thousands of people running up to him, hugging him, this small boy. Anyway, I was really proud. I'm trying to set the scene, okay? I was really proud and I was filming it and put it on Instagram. And then I put him performing his song on Instagram too. But it was an old one, one of his old songs. So I thought I was being really clever here. And realised that on the fucking montage that I put up, his new song, the chorus of it was on there.
Oh.
So all of a sudden I started getting tagged in all these things, like people writing crying emojis saying,
oh no,
it's the chorus. And it's just been the worst thing ever. So
have
that's
told
what I've been
him?
Having to deal with today. Yes.
He knows you've done it.
Yes. Well, I had to message him instantly. His manager messaged me being like, the label are going bananas. Like, you've just leaked the chorus to his song. And it was up for 5 minutes.
Oh.
Maybe 6 minutes. Four
so
minutes.
Has it just been disseminated everywhere and like everyone's like recorded bits?
Well, it's only like 2 people have posted it really that have like probably seen it, 2 fan pages that have 700 followers. So,
oh well, I could totally imagine doing that.
Yeah, it was just such a stupid mistake.
It's so annoying when you think you're being clever specifically as well doing
yeah.
it. You're like, yeah, I'm so sly doing this properly.
Exactly.
Oh, but he was forgiving.
But yes, he sent me a lovely message.
Oh, sweet.
I know, and lots of heart emojis, which I didn't deserve, but thank you.
So Rihanna was your first big name, but you haven't actually starred that many women.
No, I have not.
Why is that?
Because I'm a guy's girl. No, I'm joking. no, just because I prefer guys. I prefer the whole aesthetic to the outfits. I think you can make them look cooler. I think it might be because I want to dress like a guy, and I love like that kind of...
Yeah, you were
streetwear
quite
kind
grungy.
Of. Yeah, exactly. Love the whole grunge thing.
Yeah.
Yes, platforms, everything. But yeah, I don't know.
Was that always the plan? Like when you were starting out, did you always want to be a men's stylist?
No, not at all. I think when I started out, I had no idea what I wanted to do. The first internship I ever did was a beauty one. And I was like, right, girls are really bitchy. No one kind of, there wasn't a sense of like community within, like everyone was just out for themselves. And I was
is that
like,
still
right.
The case?
Do you know what? I don't know because I don't work in those industries anymore. But I have no idea. I don't think so. I hope not, especially with everything going on like the last couple of years. So I got my first job at FHM.
What was the highlight?
Quite lol. what was the highlight at FHM?
Uh-huh.
Probably the trips that we went on. We could do shoots where, I mean, at GQ is incredible too. But FHM, because we literally ran our desk, we could decide wherever we wanted to go to. So if we wanted to go to Iceland for a shoot, if we wanted to go to LA, if we wanted to go to, where else? South Africa. We
was
could do whatever we
with
wanted.
With talent, or does FHM have did FHM have fashion pages?
We had fashion pages too. So we didn't ever do any women at FHM. It was always the guy stuff. And I think we had like 20 pages a month. It was quite a lot.
Had you come on board when FHM was kind of changing up its attitude towards women?
Yeah. So,
do you think you could have worked there had it not?
No, absolutely not. It was a bit weird. But also, I was... sorry. No, I mean, it's fine, whatever. They're great.
Let's have a little cheers.
Cheers, girls.
Who was, like, some of the big musicians that you starred while
you were there? I did Stormzy's first ever photo shoot.
With Lethal Bizzle.
With Lethal Bizzle. You stalked me on my website, haven't you?
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of changing it because it's really bad
at the
moment.
They look so cute. Stormzy's wearing a bucket hat.
How young is he? I know. But also, it was in... collaboration with Primark or someone like that.
Yeah, and they're so like that's why at a festival.
Yeah, and they're at a festival.
No, yeah.
Well, not they're at not a festival. Yet. It's like a it's like a made one out of like cardboard. And they're using like a little VW wagon, what? Isn't he?
With it's like a set.
It's a set.
They're promoting a certain festival, and I can't remember which one. Is it like... No, I can't remember.
I think it was made up, you know.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It's just to be festival themed.
You should know this.
Well, sorry. Look, it looks really cute. It's all pastel, beachy. Have you met him since and have you noticed a change?
I have. Interesting that.
Oh, why?
No, just an interesting question. Like, have you noticed a change? Because I did also... So Stormzy, when I've seen him about, I've said hi and stuff, but it's not, and like, he probably has no idea who I am, and I can't remember me. But I shot two guys the other day for another cover of Gaffer magazine, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Crept and Conan.
What do you think of sunglasses inside as a stylist? Because Crept is wearing some sunglasses.
Those ones are very different.
What, when they're like the little ones?
Yeah, and they're like tinted. It's a subtle tint.
I will never respect that, ever.
Yeah, but don't forget, they like putting on this whole facade. It's like their alter ego, isn't it? They want to like be cool.
You know, it suited Crep, to be fair. He looked amazing.
And he looked cool because they kind of matched his
Yeah, it had like the little greenish tint, like the jacket.
And also,
yeah,
if it's like...
I was into that.
Yeah, if it's like a big event. But when people do it, like just like regular, normal people.
But the thing is, absolutely not.
Yeah,
exactly.
Obviously not regular people. But
unless you want to get a notice or pretend you're
famous
someone.
Musicians, yes. Do you prefer styling people that have like the everyman look, or do you like going for that a bit more out there?
No, I love stylized. Doing like the footballers, the musicians, the bling bling guys.
Yeah.
They're my favourite. Because I do... Yeah.
But you'd style them differently, right, for like a shoot than you would for a TV performance or something when they're meant to look ordinary.
And also you've got to think about, so there's so much you've got to think about when you're styling people. It's literally like is it a performance where they've got to stand out? Is it like just to people, so people can relate to them? Is it a photo shoot look? There's literally just so many different subcategories that you've got to think of.
So what's it like styling Jonas Blue? Because I know his main go-to look is trainers, jeans, bomber.
He was my first ever client.
Was he?
So after GQ, when I went to Vogue, I remember Elgar from GQ, I owe him everything because he gave me the intro and he was doing Jonas Blue and he was like, Carlotta, I think you should do him. Like, I'm going to hand you over to him. And passed on my details, and he's literally still with me now, and it's been about a year and a half.
So you're his personal stylist?
I mean, a stylist is a term that's very lightly used, so it's like a stylist like for everything.
Cause
so
like,
he'll call me up when he's going shopping, he'll send me pictures, or he'll be like, how do I get hold of this? And then it'll be also for events.
But he might have other stylists.
Hell no, does he have any other stylists?
Okay, so you're like the only. So you are his personal stylist.
Yeah, personal stylist is
because that makes it sound like it's like every day in the morning.
No, but
like,
there's a stylist that you're hired for a certain shoot with whatever. But Jonas Blue, you're like
it's like a
you'll go you work with him.
Yeah,
all the
so
time.
I've got like I'd say around 15 clients that I'm their go-to stylists.
And will you refuse to be their go-to stylist if they're also they've got like a second stylist?
But I guess they've usually got a second stylist if I can't do it.
Right.
So there's certain people that I prioritise and over other things that I'd help jobs that people will ask me.
How do you bill them? Like if they're ringing you up when they're shopping to say, what do you think of this?
No,
this
but that's the thing. Like
you,
it's actually quite hard. Yeah. So that's, that's
or
one
like
of the
little
things.
Text.
But it's actually, because I've been freelance for a year and a half, I'm still kind of getting to grips with it. And it is quite difficult, especially when you've got guys like all over the world. So someone will be in Shanghai, someone will be in LA, and you're working off these different time zones and people are texting you nonstop. Like, does this look okay for my show? Does this look okay? And yeah, do you know what? I don't really bill them or go on retainers for that, but I'll help them out. Mm. But when I do sit down and we do actual big shoots, then I'll pay like full rates and I won't do any side like, oh, okay, because I like you.
Has anyone ever flown you out last minute for like a crisis?
For a crisis, not so much.
A wardrobe crisis.
Do you know what's annoying with guys is that guys don't need that much attention.
That is annoying.
Yeah.
For that reason, I wish I did girls. But guys, you can just send them off with the clothes or they'll text me and be like, like the other day, it was like, oh, we have a photo shoot in Shanghai and someone's going on a plane at 4 a.m. tomorrow, like in 2 days, you need the bag to be there to be taken. And it's like, why can't I just come?
Yeah.
But I will fly out for awards. See, so I've been to, I've been to LA for awards.
Who is someone that you particularly enjoy styling at the moment?
Okay, so I love styling. There's a guy that I do called SG Lewis.
Yeah,
just because SG. I can push him and he's up for like experimenting. And, you know, when we first started with him, basically Universal hire me a lot to kind of start artists when they like are coming up. And they tell me...
Are you on a contract with them?
No, so but I'll be freelancer. It's like depending on... So I've got like about 4 or 5 clients from there. Or, yeah, they've stopped putting on people because I've got... So many.
Too many.
Aww. Yeah, which is annoying.
Can you, like, if there's a client that's, like, better than one of your clients, can you swap?
That would be great, but then I feel mean on the other guys.
Sorry.
Sorry, guys. Bye. No, I love my guys.
So, SG, did you put him in the patent black trousers? I saw that picture the other day.
His acne one from when he went to...
was such a good look.
He sent me a lot of pictures for that. He acne dressed him for it, so he knew he had the option of 2 outfits.
Look good. I feel like definitely got more adventurous since you've been styling him.
He's been pushing himself, hasn't he? But we started, for example, like I'll meet him and then they'll kind of tell me what they like and they'll say this is how we can push it, and you know, you just brainstorm with them. It's a good like natural environment. It's fun.
Is there like a go-to piece or brand that everyone always wants at the moment?
Oh, at the moment my favorite brand is Casablanca. You guys don't know, do you? Your face is just there.
Like glad over.
It's this guy, who's the guy behind it? I think he's in LA. Anyway, he's in with all like the footballers and musicians and rappers. He's got Travis Scott wearing it. It's just a sick brand that everyone should check out.
How do you get someone to wear your brand? You
just Octavia Nessie is the face of it. He's not the face of it, but he's wearing a lot of it.
If there's a new brand that isn't attached to a big name and they want an artist to start like wrapping their stuff, like what do? They just send loads of stuff. Does that ever work? Does it need to be attached to a name?
Yeah, it definitely does.
For an artist to start like co-opting a brand?
Do you know what? I don't know, but I guess it helps both parties out too. So it's nice for the artist to have a name. Like, you know, I'm meeting up with a designer flying over from Italy this weekend because Jonas Blue wears a lot of his stuff. A designer called Neil Barrett, who's incredible. But it's just all about having that relationship and how they can help each other, you know, wearing it and getting that publicity and a certain audience. And
I suppose like having a shared story, like brand story.
Yeah, exactly.
What's been the biggest like meltdown someone's had on a shoot?
Because they don't like your clothes.
Do you know what?
It could be something.
No one's ever actually not liked my rail. Touchwood. Yeah. But it's only because I make sure that I go prepared, because when I was assisting, I saw that happen so much that I said that I swore to myself I would never be put in that position.
What would happen when someone like was like, I hate everything on this rail?
I mean, I've seen people walk out of shoots before.
Well, because they just can't wear a single thing there.
Yep. Or just didn't like it.
So do you make sure that your rail fits the artist, or do you try and make them kind of come out of their comfort zone and just
trust? It depends what the shoot is. So for example, if it was just an artist and like it was his performances or something like that, I always say to the artist that don't forget, you've got to push yourself out of these comfort zones, because you've got to be wearing something that, you know, you've got to look amazing. Yeah. You've got to look like a performer. Whereas I think a lot of artists sometimes don't get that and they don't want to be as...
So are you the one usually encouraging people to try something a little bit braver?
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you categorise as wild? Like, would something like the men's like Louis V harnesses be considered wild?
No,
or is that
sick.
Quite mainstream?
That's
I think they're so
mainstream.
Sick as well, but
everyone,
would that be wild?
Well, not everyone's wearing them because they can't afford them.
And them. They could, they would.
Virgil on speed dial. Yeah, that I feel like isn't mainstream, but it's sick. But I think something that's a bit more out there, it could be something, an even cheap outfit, but like wearing like full fluorescent outfit. Or like Bad Bunny.
Like Lil Nas X.
Yes, oh
looks
my
so
God.
Good. The Grammys is hot
so
pink
good.
Cowboy hat. Mm-hmm.
The Versace neon pink cowboy outfit. Ooh,
have you musicians ever nicked any of the clothes that you've had on set?
Yes, I once styled a footballer and he didn't pay me back. So he told me he was going to pay for like 3 pieces. It was like Fendi, something else, and it was about $2,000.
Was this when you were as a freelancer as
this
well?
This was when I was a freelancer. It was last year.
Oh God.
And I've learned so many life lessons. Lessons just in general from being freelance. It's ridiculous. But that was one of them. It was about a footballer who must have so much money, and I always think about this, so much money, and I think he transferred me 1.5 grand and he didn't transfer me the last 500 and he refused to do it. Oh, and he was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. And I was like, mate, I've just gone freelance. I need to pay my rent. Like,
because they probably assume it's like the brand's loss, but like yeah, it's you personally.
Exactly.
So what happens? The brands just bill you for the missing item.
So for example, I think that was a case where Mr. Porter had given me some stuff. So that therefore makes it easier so I can just pay them for it.
Rather than going through each individual brand.
Exactly.
Still though, but that's you have to pay like shelf price.
Yeah, I get discounts.
Well, but it's like...
So my clients get discounts.
It's not like a random sample, like they're buying the item.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. If it was a sample, that'd be terrible. Oh, but I have had a lot of people go off with jewellery, sunglasses, or like try and sneak off with a top or jacket.
And you're like, sorry, or they actually need that bag.
Yeah, exactly. Or they try and sweet talk you and like kiss your teeth at you and they're like, babe, come on, yeah. It's like, no.
It doesn't belong to me.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
What about Loyal Kana? You've starred him twice now, right? For GQ.
Yes.
What's that like? Because obviously he's got the
and you interviewed
every man
him,
vibe.
The video interview. Yeah.
Guys, the interview is so bad.
No, it's not.
It's terrible.
Have you seen my Trey Songz interview?
You were so good at those videos and your David Beckham one as well.
Thanks, but no. But the Loyal Kana one, someone actually messaged me the other day and slid into my DMs and was like, I loved your Loyal Kana interview.
Oh my God, you see.
And he was like, can I interview you for like, he's at Central St. Martin's. He was like, can I interview you for a piece?
Can you drink your champagne, please?
Yep, sorry. Cheers.
Cheers. We did that already, hon.
Okay, second round.
So, because you just
God,
want
you're
naked,
aren't you?
I just want to top up.
Do it, go for it.
I'm going to.
But wait, he said this guy sent me a message. So I thought I'd look back at this Loyal Kana interview. And it's just so embarrassing. Also, the comments on it were absolutely horrific.
What were they?
The way that girl is sitting on that chair gives me anxiety. Oh. And I was sitting, it was the first recorded interview I'd ever done. So I was literally hanging off
on the edge of the seat.
Yeah.
But anyway. He was attracted to you, wasn't he?
Yeah, didn't he ask you out?
We can talk about that.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Carlos was being coy.
I can remember that he fancied you a little bit.
Attest that yes, Loyal Kana did ask her.
Which is
out
really flattering because, I mean, obviously you deserve it because you're hot. Yeah. But, Loyal Kana.
He's saying I don't deserve it.
No, but when I interviewed him, I was like, oh my God, he has such charisma. Like,
he's
really,
so
like,
lovely.
Quite hypnotic.
But do you know what I think it is? Is when you're styling people that you kind of break those boundaries really,
you're really
quickly
close to them.
Because they have to get naked
you
in
like
front of you.
You like see them in their pants.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Have you seen actually naked?
Oh, yeah. Do you know how many willies I've flicked by accident?
Has anyone accidentally got aroused when you've like styled them? Just by nature,
I'm
you like touching them?
Pretty sure that there have been a few semis. Is that acceptable to say?
Yeah.
That's
acceptable.
So not.
Come on, you're host of Cheap Chat. You've said worse.
That is so true. Yeah. That is so true.
FYI, guys. So Cheap Chat is Carlotta's podcast.
Oh, you're giving me a plug.
Yeah.
Go on.
It nice is what? Just finished season two.
Just finished.
You're about
to film season. Ooh, okay. Record season three, which is exciting.
Be nice. And what day does it come out?
I think on Valentine's Day, which is exciting.
It's a dating and relationship podcast. It's so funny. It's like three proper London girls chatting all about
love
and life.
And we found out it's number one in the UK at the
God,
moment for sex and relationships.
No, well
amazing
done.
And
well, I'm not
number 141 in the world.
Yeah.
That is great.
Just keep that going.
That is so good.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
I'm
but you're not single anymore, so.
But I'm not single. I always.
Are you allowed to talk about your relationship on air with your boyfriend?
Yes, but my boyfriend has banned himself from listening to it.
Yeah.
And he genuinely hasn't.
Probably wise. And now for a very short break to tell you all about our wonderful series sponsor, the online drink specialist, Master of Malt, who provided our very tasty bottle of Tattinger for this episode with Carlotta.
You can buy a bottle of Tattinger for £30.95 from the special Master of Malt Straight Up landing page at www.masterofmalt.co.uk. You can also get plenty of other drinks there, such as gin, vodka, whiskey and wine.
So yes, please do drink responsibly and thank you very much to Master of Malt. Tell us all about styling Tiny Temper.
Tiny Temper, oh, I love how you've gone through.
We've done a little bit.
Yeah,
digging.
I've got a list.
Sorry, I don't even update it. It's really bad. Tiny Temper, he's an absolute legend. We shot him in his house where McQueen used to live.
Did he buy it off him?
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
And it was absolutely insane. It's such a beautiful place. But he was really easygoing. Do you know what? It's with artists, I think it's I was going to say really easy, but no, they're really difficult people too. It's all about just making them happy and just making
what's
them
the most
think
like without naming any names. What's the most difficult situation that you've had to be in professionally with an artist, like being difficult in whatever way that might be?
Okay, so for example, the other day I had. This was just before Christmas. There was a huge performance and he was headlining a show and his management had briefed me, but he wasn't expecting what I was bringing. And he was like, they sent me a picture and they were like, he wants something exactly like this. And I was like, okay, fine. Like, I'll go with that. Bring him all the options and all the different tops. Really simple and straightforward. Then he got there and he was like, babe, I'm not going to lie, you didn't do a very good job, did you? And I was like, hold the fucking phone. Like, I was told this from your manager. I was like, you guys need to go back and talk between yourselves because I'm not going to do my job badly. Anyway, turned out he looked the best he'd ever looked, actually, after that. But
that's so rude.
But it was the first time that anyone had ever said anything about my role. And I was literally like, I'm not going to get stitched up because some person from his management has told me the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Do you find that difficult dealing with teams and stuff rather than the individual?
My goodness. So one of my artists have got about five different teams, and it's his international team. It's his performance team, it's his live performance team, it's his acoustic team, it's his
team.
Honestly, he's got a different team for everything.
There surely must be one person in that team.
And there's literally, when I went up and did the Radio 1 Weekender, he was headlining a stage, and there's this one girl from one of the teams, and I just, you know when someone just tries to make your life so difficult?
Yeah.
I was styling all his dancers too, and they had
They
had two different looks, so I think it was like 18 outfits altogether. Hectic weekend as it is. And then someone just trying to make your job really difficult, it's just not the one. So,
oh God.
I just like to think that if anyone's being that mean, that they've obviously got something going on in their lives.
Yeah.
So you just got to give everyone the benefit of the doubt.
And girl just, vibe.
Exactly.
Shoots of like, and you know, with Terry Richardson and all those kind of photography shoots can be kind of a tricky place sometimes to navigate, especially as a woman, or even male models have obviously had issues. Did you, because I guess you were across that change, right, in the last 7 years of being on shoots where now there's so many safeguards in place.
It's like no alcohol, no under 18s.
To make sure everyone's super safe. Did you notice that change? Did you suddenly feel a lot safer and more comfortable for everyone involved?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. When I was doing, I was actually on, I wish I could say the name, but I was on set with a big indie band once, and they were doing drugs and drinking a lot of alcohol on shoot, and it was for like a big magazine too. And I remember just thinking like, this is crazy. And there being another model with them. And just weird.
And could you tell that other people were feeling uncomfortable as a result?
Do you know what? I think it was one of those things where it was very much looked over.
Yeah.
Everyone just lets the talent be
piss off the artist.
Yeah. Ruling the roost, basically.
Yeah, and it was terrible. And it's changed
so much.
The features
look shite as well.
Literally.
You're not going to look great, are you?
A white coming out there.
black rings under their eyes.
I have an artist that got a whole lot of... Why can't I? Oh, guys.
It's going to be like tripping over your words. We are literally the worst. So.
I have a guy that got given a whole load of money for a shoot, and he decided he didn't want to do a shoot for his album for it. So he thought that he'd go out with his mates in LA, get really fucked up, and take loads of pills, and then one of his friends would take got a disposable camera, and they took pictures on that.
Oh my God.
As like a campaign.
As a campaign, because his like music was all about drugs and stuff like that. And then the record label came back, and they saw the pictures, and they were like, you're never, ever doing that again with like X amount of money. But it's hilarious.
So they actually had funded it as well.
They funded it, yeah, but I don't think they knew, obviously, that...
No.
I'm not saying...
It's like, there's no money for a real shoot, but you may go on holiday with your friends and
exactly.
take loads of pills.
Exactly. Yeah. But,
Who would you most love to dress
and why?
Musician, of course.
Yes. Who would I love to dress? Jay Huss.
Mm. Interesting. Explain that.
I just think that he's so cool. Do you know what I like? I like guys that I can see, kind of like little Nas X, like how he looks so cool and so different to what you actually think that he should wear. It's like pushing guys. Do you know what I'd also love to do?
He looked fabulous at the Mercury Prize last year.
Who?
Or was it 2 years ago?
Jay Huston, but all white.
I love his new album. Mm.
It's so good, isn't it?
I love Big Conspiracy.
On repeat at the moment.
As in the first track, yeah.
Yeah. cool. But yeah. But I also want to do someone like Shawn Mendes.
Okay.
What would you, what, do the proper, like, All American?
Yeah, I'd love that.
Little shirt.
I love a good teeny bopper.
Who is the worst dressed musician of all time? It's fine, they can be dead if you'd rather not offend anyone. No, but make them
dead. No, maybe like rather than who's the worst dressed of all time, like who do you notice that consistently has like mad style fails when you're like, you belong on the worst dressed list? Like,
do you know who I'd love to like sort out?
Yes, that's a better way of putting it. Interesting.
Ooh, okay. I'd love to get my hands on him. I feel like he looks like he's just been through JD Sports and like just picked up whatever he wanted. And they've been like, man, do you like this? And they'd be like, yeah, 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 sick, bro. And then he's just gone out.
Okay, how would you style H?
I don't know, but I just think we can make him a little bit prim and proper and like do streetwear right. I'm not offending a stylist or anyone, by the way.
You just have a vision.
I've just got a vision and I'd love
what
to do it.
What brands would look best on H?
I think you should go high-end designer with him and do a bit of Prada. Ooh. Make it a bit crazy. Do a bit of like boxy, not so tight fits.
Yeah. Do you have to, when you're dressing men, do you think about dressing for body type in the same way?
Oh my gosh, always.
Yeah.
Do they get
it's even
insecure?
Worse, I think. Yeah, men are the worst. So all of the guys that I style, like, you have to really believe in your vision with them, because if you don't believe in it, they're not going to believe in it. So for example, like, it'll be right up until they go on stage, they're going to be if and what and do I look good, and you've got to be like, yes you do. They've got so much else to think of, so there's that one job that you're there for. You've just got to make sure that they look the best they can and that no one else, that you thought about everything on it, because no one else can fault them.
Well, Captain Conan, like, in terms of like, do you know confidence
when we shot them, so we were talking about the fact that like, have people changed? They have changed so much, it's unbelievable.
Have they? Because I guess we met them on the other side of fame, right? They'd made it.
I first met them when we did the Hat and Garden.
But you guys have known them for, oh yeah.
And that was like,
oh my God, I took them fake shopping in Hat and Garden. And then
that's fun.
2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that.
I remember when you did that. Ago.
But yeah, way after they'd blown up.
Yeah.
They were like mainstream.
Yeah.
So we did them before that, and then after, do you know what? I think.
So how have they changed?
I think I might have caught them on a bad day.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Were they not as charming as they are now?
No, but the thing is, like, which was nice that they remembered me from, like, the FHM shoot. And do you know what? They were actually bloody lovely to me.
And what was Lethal Bizzle like?
Oh, so nice.
Isn't he the nicest guy?
So lovely. And Craig David, too. Oh, I don't know why I'm generalising them, but...
Well, I guess they're just both really nice solo artists.
Like, old-school guys that are just the best. I feel like it's changed a lot. Everyone now with this, like, whole social media thing that everyone just thinks that they're, if they've got over like 2 followers, that they're someone.
They're like the most important person
on
earth.
Genuinely. Yeah, genuinely.
Do you find that with your clients, even like the bigger the social following, the bigger the diva?
I think it depends on who they've got around them. And if, like, it's like the whole thing with Justin Bieber, how he kind of went off the rails. It's like, how could he not have gone off the rails? Like, people, when I look at my little guys coming up, and you've got people around them saying, yes, yes, I'll get you
all
this, I'll get you this.
Men, yeah.
It's like, no, like, do it yourself. Like, and then they'll be like, he'll be like, oh, can you do it on my shoelace? And like, usually I will. And I'll be like, do it yourself.
On a
principle. Or I'll like undo his shoelace on purpose so he can do it up. And
what's
be
the
like,
most outrageous thing you've seen an artist like just demand as if it's like proper diva style? You don't need to say the name.
So I know of a shoot when I was at a magazine of a big actress who asked someone to do up her shoelace and whispered in my friend's ear, an assistant, saying, look at you doing up my shoelace, like you deserve to be, or something horrible.
Oh
like that.
Unacceptable. Well, she's not happy in her life, clearly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is there one of those, have you got one of those stories that's one of those, like, you will not fucking believe, and it's almost become urban legend among stylists, and you're like, you know, the ex did this?
So once I was going for an interview with a stylist, and...
sorry, but when you have an interview... Oh, as in you were being interviewed as a stylist?
As an assistant.
Do you just make someone style someone on the spot? Surely that's like... that is like the
it's
best
not
way.
Even about
practical
their
exam.
It's literally like...
But it is practical.
How well you guys fit together. So I've got like about 7 assistants on rotation, and like I've got first assistant, a second assistant, a third assistant. I sound like a dick now, don't I?
Where do you find them?
I do understand that.
Do you get them confused?
No, but
bring
surely
the
also
one?
They all have other shit that they're doing, so you need to actually have someone free on a certain day. And
yeah, exactly. And like put them up in advance. Like, yeah. go getters.
Constant army.
Constant army.
Little pun there.
Should we start?
The hashtag. No.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue with your anecdote.
What was I saying? About that lady who I had an interview for.
Yeah, and it like an urban legend.
And an urban legend kind of, was that she chucked a stapler at her assistant's head, and it was actually true though.
Oh my God.
A stapler. Can you believe that? She actually chucked a stapler at someone's head.
The person that you went for an interview with.
Yeah, but she, when I did my interview yes. with her, she didn't ask me anything about, you know, if I would star someone or like what colour goes with what, which is what I was expecting. And she was like, what's your horoscope? And I was like, interesting.
And did you align astrologically?
Obviously not.
Because you didn't get the job.
No, exactly.
That's mad.
But everything happens for a reason, guys.
What's one of the like biggest fashion fails that you can't like deal with at the moment? Is there a certain look that you just hate? A certain haircut, could be a grooming thing, or a really popular piece of clothing that everyone's wearing that you're just like, no, that's gross.
For instance, do you remember when all guys had like a little mini ponytail?
Yeah, I remember that. But the things that are a little bit different and a little bit like quirky, I tend to love them. Yeah.
You celebrate all those.
Exactly.
Quirks.
Guys, just do it. Like Crocs, I love Crocs.
Do you?
Yeah. Bloody love them. Oh my God. I think they're cool.
Would you style someone in those?
Absolutely. If they were wearing socks, you can make it
with
cool.
With socks, I suppose, if like sporty socks.
Yeah, exactly.
Right up. Yeah. Oh God, no.
Like a guy that I style, like Paul Jason Klein from Lainey, the band.
Yeah.
He would look fucking amazing in them.
Yeah, because then that would be like the cool, like, it's like the cool, purposeful slob.
Yeah, exactly that.
Has anyone ever tried it on with you apart from Noel Carner?
Yes.
Oh. That must happen to you like every single day when you're on shoot. Especially as a Chris female Hemsworth. Stylist styling men, because they probably expect like a gay man and then they get there and you.
Also, they probably think that, they also don't forget these guys don't really meet people, so like that's their way of meeting people. Aww, they can't really sad. I know it is sad. I actually genuinely sad. Feel sorry for a lot of them, and it's why I'm probably good friends with a lot of them and would never cross that boundary with a lot of them,
but they try
any of them.
a lot
I
of them.
Mean
any of them.
Jonas Blue, I'm gonna call him out right now, he tells me to marry him every single day, which is he's my absolute babe. But yeah, I mean, it's cute.
No one's ever lunged on set though?
No.
That's good.
Yeah. That would be dreadful. Can you imagine? Has anyone ever tried to get like, tried to chirp to you after an interview?
Oh.
No,
or lunged on set?
Really.
Yeah?
Sorry, no.
There's
I was just thinking
people around though as well. Like I was saying, there's always like publicists and like, I
yeah,
don't know.
There's that you, look.
Yeah, you can get like a vibe from someone, but they're not
I did have someone that DM'd me like every week.
Who?
I can't say.
Say it.
No,
if I've said all this, you have to say that.
No, I can't.
Well, you did say on our last episode about that time when you were like, Wiley kept messaging you.
Oh, yeah, that was, no, but that's a different one.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing.
Don't get me wrong, though, it can be nice, can be a little ego boost if it's done nicely. I would not be complaining if it was, I don't know, with Anthony Joshua or Dave Beckham.
So I've worked with him a couple of times, and when I did that GQ interview, I went to a grooming event of his after, and was waiting at the door. The lady asked for my name, and I gave it to her, and she was like, oh, okay. Went and whispered to someone, and I was like, oh, what's going on? She was like, David would like to see you. And so they took me all the way straight to David, like pushed in front of all the queues of everyone trying to get selfies. And he was like, Carlotta, hi. They were like, he really wanted to say hi.
Ooh.
And I was like, this is great. Oh, and then I put the picture up on Facebook and on Instagram, and he commented on it. Got me all the likes.
That is a serious claim.
And Daryl Butler keeps photos of girls that interview.
It's so weird that.
So do you think he has like a little...
He 100% has a folder of, like, so when I asked him for a picture, he was like, can I please get a picture with you? And I was like, sure. And then my friend said that she had the same thing asked for her, whatever. Gerald Butler has a folder of girls.
Is he married?
I think he's a bit of a Lothario.
Fingers in pies.
Yeah, exactly that.
So tell us about, like, your day-to-day. What is your day-to-day? Because it must be crazy.
Yeah, my day today. So,
what did you do today?
Today, so I'm a little bit quiet at the moment.
Okay,
which is
don't
lovely.
Tell us a quiet day.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the last 5 months has been flipping hectic. It's been nonstop. Do you know what? Day to day, my assistant will get to mine at 9, and then it will just be either running out to appointments, to designers, to stores, seeing what they've got, working with talents quite hard because they're not model sizes. So you've got to do a lot more. To-ing and fro-ing with designers, or they'll have like associations with designers, so then you can go to them and they know. go for meetings, a lot of meeting with like record labels.
I suppose you have a lot of events at night as well.
And events at night.
Best exactly party that. You've been to?
Best party I've been to? Probably the Tinder party at Coachella, the Ooh. After party.
I've heard Coachella is like dry.
So I didn't enjoy Coachella.
You told me this.
Yeah, I hated Coachella. But it's just an the Tinder Instagram after party, the fact that Orlando Bloom platform. And Leonardo DiCaprio were on a table Ooh. Next to us was just insane.
Who do you think has the coolest merch at the moment?
Oh, Travis Scott, without yeah. a doubt. Well, I literally love it. It's so good.
Are you into the Stormy World merch?
Yes, I want Stormy it World so too. Bad. She's so
with all the heads.
When ridiculous. Did merch become a thing?
I actually did an article at GQ on that.
Didn't read it.
Yeah, obviously not. So you're about 3 years too late, hun. Yeah, it's fucking sick. I love merch. Merch is something that I always like go out and buy it. The Lainey merch is amazing.
Do you have Supreme? Oh, you've got a Supreme skateboard above your bed.
A Palace, actually. Get it right.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. Shit.
So if you go to shows, will you actually go and buy like a t-shirt or something?
Yeah, every time? 100%. Yeah. Also, don't forget that everyone, like, you can make it cool.
Yeah, all the stuff I have, I'm always really glad that I bought it as well.
Yeah,
like,
so it's good memories as well. And, like,
it'll only be really good. I think even you, I got one of the Kendrick Lamar Damn t-shirts.
That's
and I think
so
it was even
good.
You, like, you're so fucking lame. Why are you buying that? I was like, trust me, it'll look cool in a year.
Exactly.
And,
yeah. Have you worn it?
Yeah, I wear it all the time. I
in bed.
Wear it all the time.
What would you suggest people invest in terms of...
Sorry, say that again.
What would you, like, you know how people, like, will buy a leather shirt and then, like, Nike trainers or whatever, and then sell it at a higher price, like, months later? What do you have your eye on?
What do I have my eye on?
I saw someone, like, doing that for Yes Mag. They predicted, like, the most lucrative trainers to buy now and sell later.
That's pretty sick. There's a really incredible Ambush and Nike collaboration coming out in, like, a couple of months' time.
But you'll just get gifted it, won't you?
No.
What's the best thing you've ever been gifted?
By best, you mean most expensive, obviously.
Okay, well, I've got, like...
to be clear.
...kind people at Christian Louboutin. I've got, like, a fair few pair of them.
Ooh.
Heels.
You've got, like, those really nice boots with, like, the...
Yes.
Okay, do you do that thing, which I feel like you do, where you'll be like, oh, my God, need Christian Louboutin, and then... Lo and behold, next week, pair come in.
No, I actually don't do that. But do you know what? I actually have a friend. So one of my friends put up a video the other day of a jumper, and he was like, does anybody know where I can get this jumper from? And I was like, yeah, I saw it the other day in store when I was looking for someone else. He was like, no, I was just asking the brand basically to give it to me. And I was like, oh, shit.
I would 100% do that if I were you.
But I can't do stuff like that. No. Other people can.
Where do I get this?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that's it. You'd be like, do you not know your jumper?
Well, Louboutin's G-Wagon, you guys heard that, haven't you?
Yeah. With being a brand ambassador, can you please tell us everything about when you designed a shoe for Adidas and you went over to LA and you met Pharrell and it was all basically a very big deal?
Yes, it was very fun. It was incredible. So, yes, I was... designing a trainer for Adidas. It was actually at an event here in London.
It was part of like a wider collection,
yeah,
right?
Did you go to it?
I don't think I did go to the event.
So it was just like an event just to go and create your own shoe. And then basically it was just insanely incredible timing that the VP of Adidas managed to walk past me and say, hey, I really like that shoe. And I was like, yo, dude, thanks. Obviously not like that. and I was like, yeah, thank you so much. And someone actually said, like, you know, he never says that he likes stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then a week later, I got asked if they could put my shoe into production. And then a couple of months after that, I got flown out to New York to shoot the campaign.
So did you get paid for this?
Do you know what? I actually didn't.
What?
Yeah.
Carlotta, that's your...
I know. But do you know what?
Property.
This was about a year and a bit ago, and I just started going freelance, and I was like...
It's so good for the...
Exactly.
Rep.
Like, are you
but
kidding
did they
me?
Sell your shoe?
Apparently so.
What?
Can you describe it to us? What does it actually look like? I know I would have seen it at the time, but...
It's cute. So we had to do it on a certain base of a shoe. Pod system shoe. Mm-hmm. And it's just like pastels and cute and girly, which is very un-me, actually. Which is quite funny.
Something super girly. Do you ever wear your version?
I've only got my version of a trainer in size 11,
really?
Size 10. Yeah. Really? Like production size.
Well, they never gave you
no,
your
never
own size in your shoes.
Yeah.
So they and knew it was your creation.
That's wild.
It was only like a small circulated one. It wasn't like it was sold globally. I think it was only in LA. But also the things that I did with it, like I know it's silly and I know I probably got mugged off a little bit. But
nah,
I went
definitely not being mugged
I went
off.
Flew out to LA, flew to Complex Con. Pharrell nodded to me and remembered who I was. That's and so said cool. I love your trainer. Met Pusha T, which was
oh yes,
ridiculous. Met
there's that
Snoop
amazing
Dogg.
Photo of you with him picking up the phone, right?
So
in his
literally,
office. Whose office?
Yeah, it's his office. It was his Pusha T Complex Con office that they'd built specially for him. And everyone was getting pictures with him and looking all cute. And I was like, hey, like, can we do something funny? So it's just not the same. And he was like, yeah, yeah, sure. He was sitting in this like huge chair. I was like, can I sit in your chair and you pretend that, and me pretend that I'm like buoying you off and you want to talk to me? He was like, yeah, sure. He was like, okay, sick, I'm into this now. So there's me on the phone, like with my hand up in the air in his face.
I love, oh, he's probably not used to someone actually taking control. And
also your Insta queen. I feel like you're really good at the old captions.
Thanks, I appreciate you.
Yeah. You know, I recognise your hard work. And
thank you.
I just want to credit you. It's amazing.
When did you realise that you could actually become like financially independent from styling, freelance styling?
Do you know what?
Or would you not have gone freelance had you not had all those like,
yeah,
things in
it
place?
Was literally crazy. Going freelance was probably the craziest, most rollercoaster journey I've ever had. And with it has come a lot of like learning about myself. Anxiety, the worst things that I've ever felt in my life, just knowing that I've got to. So when I first went freelance, I broke up with my boyfriend at the time and we were living together and he moved out of the flat and I was like, right, if I'm going to do it now, I'm going to have to take on the flat by myself in London. I'm going to have to buy all this equipment and, you know, rails and stuff like that and actually fund it for myself and pay an assistant on top of it. And I was like, do I want it enough? Fuck yes. And just made myself do it and just worked as hard as I could. I think, do you know what? I always have the saying that if you really, really, really want something, that you can do it.
And now would you ever go back to being in-house anywhere?
Absolutely not.
Love being your own boss.
I earned my salary from working in-house, like, as in freelance in 3 months. Yeah, it was mad.
Do you, what advice would you give to up-and-coming stylists?
Just go with it. Also, do everything, because you never know who you're going to meet. And also, people move places, like... yeah, people from back at FHM still book me now for cover shoots that they're doing. And you just, yeah, it's just incredible to get out there and meet people. And
so do you think networking is like networking the most important part
key.
Of your job, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Just getting on with people.
Even and more than good taste? Obviously, you have both.
But. Ooh, interesting. Yeah, what are you trying to say?
Obviously, you have like bags of both, but you know.
Does poaching go on in the industry? Like, do you go like in the same way that like in advertising, you're like poach clients? Your pitch to them.
Do you know what? I don't know. I know. Oh, it's so awkward that because I've had people that have like approached me after working with some of my friends.
Yeah, is there like a stylist network? Is there like a closed Facebook group where you all talk to each other?
Oh my God. There's not, but I wish there was. But there is.
Is
there
super
is the stylist goss? I think there's like a few people that you. That I have that I just I like
who's
my
your,
competitors.
Like, inspo, stylist wise.
Who's my inspo? I love Anna Trevelyan.
Who's that?
We're gonna look at you really blankly now.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
like, I love Lizzo. Is that Lizzo stylist?
No, but she is incredible. She's fabulous. Anna Trevelyan is a British London girl that is just doing like movements and just is sick. And
Jen K.
Who does she style?
Who does she style? Kendall Jenner, like all that lot, like superstars. I want to do like that kind of thing. There's another lady called Kathy Morrison. She's Post Malone stylist and I love her.
Interesting. Would you like to style someone that has that very specific branded look and isn't so easy in terms of wearing whatever?
Yeah, when it comes to something like that, it's more of a costume.
Yeah.
Mm. So I think people are better for that, that are costume designers, which is what she technically is. But yeah. Well, it goes hand in hand, I guess, styling and that kind of thing.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Who are you listening to?
Who am I listening to? Jay House's album, yeah. Stormzy's album. I've got that song Lessons on Repeat. I know it's quite old now, but I just love it.
So
and
it, he
it oh,
he was
my heart.
Basically crying when I saw him at the Rose Theatre and he had to ask for us to help him sing it. It was very emotional.
Stop. Do you think it's all an act?
No, I don't think it is.
Because, okay.
I mean,
do you?
No, not at all. But I think
I don't think it was. It was too raw.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, that doesn't, like, just because you cry on stage doesn't mean that
it just felt genuine.
The wrong you did is absolved.
But yeah, it felt genuine, and I was moved.
Mm. As soon as I listened to it, I was like, God, he's got to get back with her.
Yeah.
No, I don't think she's going to take him back.
But I hope she doesn't. Because we shouldn't condone that kind of shit.
I was annoyed on Instagram, like, everyone being like, Maya, you're mental, you've got to take him back. Like, look how much he loves you. It's like, that's not...
But I mean, also, maybe, that's but not like that's love. Not if you really loved her, he wouldn't have done that in the first place. Wow. Sorry, I don't know. let's go into that.
Getting into cheap chat mode. Yeah, relationship advice.
Well, we love them both.
We do indeed. Okay, final question. What are the fashion brands on an accessible level that the everyman should have on their radar right now?
Accessible level. Yeah. Don't know. I just think that if it's an accessible level, you've got to look for the drops, like Palace mm-hmm. Supreme, and see what they're doing. All the collaborations, try and get them in time because they're so affordable. But it's just when people like have to rebuy them, that's when they prices just go crazy.
Do you have a Hypebeast tip? Do you like go queue at the shop, or do you just get online?
So and be there if for you want to know two? A tip, always go online 10 minutes before the drop, because it usually gets released about 4 minutes or 5 minutes too early.
Ooh.
And I also heard something from another guy that was like a plug the other day, that you can get an app that auto fills out your details into the checkout, so that you can quickly, because you can only buy one item at a time at a drop, so you can just do it, paste your things in, and then check out, and then go on to the next thing.
Ooh, very good tip.
How many drops have you managed to succeed?
Well, I'm usually doing them for my clients, so it's a bit manic.
Do you buy them something, then they like pay you back, and then that's their item? Or is it you buy stuff for your rail, you keep it, and you take it to different shoots for different people to wear?
A bit of both. Or I'll see a drop that I like, and I know someone, no one of my clients will like it, so I'll be like, oh, I'll buy that for them. And then they'll just...
Reinvest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Coming down. It was super fun.
You
we loved seeing
again.
You. It was like a double whammy of
I know, we haven't seen each other for so long.
I know.
I had missed Carlotta so much. I had to keep reminding myself that we weren't just catching up as like girls over drinks and can just talk about my personal life too much. Wasn't it juicy at the end when she told us all the names of the bands that she can
talk
about?
Oh, it's so good. One of the highlights of podcast hosting is that you get to go off air and run through all the people that couldn't be named.
I know, sorry I couldn't share it with you guys. They are big though. The band that was doing drugs on set, big name.
Wild.
Shocking.
Thank you for listening. Our music and editing is done by musician and podcast producer Marlon Percy. You can find him on Instagram at Marlon Percy. Straight Up is recorded at London's club and co-working space, The Ministry, in South London by Chris Bailey from Boy in the Corner. You can find him on Twitter at CornerHQ.